Welcome back to another Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast, presented as always by the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill. In this episode, Dallas, Matt, and I sit down to discuss the 42-21 victory over the Fighting Hawks of UND and the upcoming game versus the Redbirds of Illinois State. Here's Dallas and Matt. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the A-Team from the Jackrabbit Illustrated. We are coming to you live from separate bedrooms. And I mean, we're all in a bedroom of some sort, right?
I am not. I am in the basement under the stairs.
Oh, my bad. I thought you were in a...
Harry Potter's
I'm the there. Only one in a bedroom then?
Yeah, I'm in a workout room. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, well, that didn't go as planned then.
Chad, I was so proud of you. You were nailing that intro. All the stuff went super smooth, and then that happened. Like, what the heck?
I still think it's pretty good.
If you guys were to keep a straight face, you know, then it would have worked just fine.
Ruining the illusion that we all have separate bedrooms. We all.
You want a funny story? You ready?
We all have bunk beds.
So today. Hey, you live on an acreage, right, Matt? And you got this sick Kubota tractor, right?
What is it? Yeah, it's a BX2680.
Sounds phenomenal. I have an old secondhand, it blew out the head gasket. That's the only reason I got it. Lawnmower for my grandfather. I got it for free. It was a great deal. But it's getting long in the tooth. And it doesn't like to go up hills. But years and years ago for my wife for her birthday, I bought her a garden cart because she like kind of wanted a wheelbarrow, but she doesn't have the upper body strength, you know, and this has been the best purchase I've ever made for her. She loves that thing. I was pouring concrete a while ago, you know, and I had a cement mixer and that thing's too heavy to carry. So I was like, oh, let's just dump that in the cart. And I was able to get it in the garden cart kind of upside down. And I was like, oh, now I got to take that, you know, a mile down to my mother and father-in-law's. So what did I do? I hooked up the old Craftsman and it barely made it up the hill down the gravel road. And I was thinking the whole time, I was like, you know what I could really use? A new Kubota lawn tractor.
That was the longest road we have ever gone down for our sponsor. Thank you, Kubota. That was, I loved, well, not every minute of that, but some of the minutes of that. That was very good.
It was really bad, especially coming back because the deck kept hitting the gravel and like, digging in.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Anyway. We're so happy to have you back. I don't know what anybody did without you. Honestly, the whole thing unraveled. Yeah. The Jacks won, which is good, despite you not being around, because I had my worries. But
yeah,
it is lovely to see you again.
Tell us about Germany. Nice to see you guys too. How was it?
Germany is sehr gut. Very good. And love that place. And so, I mean, between you, me, and the wall, and my wife doesn't watch this, so we're in the clear. But apparently, the Hairraisers, you know, they're working out a plan to go again next year. And I just got to figure out how to let my wife know that I'm going without her. I gotta figure out how I can spend that money and she's not invited because she's got to work. Yeah. But yeah, it was a blast, man. You know, we went to not only Germany but also the Czech Republic, where everything is cheap. And
oh my God, I want to go to the Czech Republic so bad,
dude. That place is awesome. The beer is literally cheaper than water.
They drink. I forget how many liters per year people drink in the Czech Republic, but I mean, like it's whatever Wisconsin drinks times three is basically what anybody in the Czech Republic drinks. It's shocking. That's all they do there is drink
the
beer.
The most per capita of anywhere in the world.
So. I don't know how they get anything done. No. I just got done watching a show about this because you said you were in Prague or whatever you're doing, and I watched a couple of travel shows because I was really excited. And yeah, it was like, I don't know how anybody goes to work, but they basically just get up and start drinking beer. And it's not, they don't go nuts, but just all day. And that's what they do. But
And then they drink beer in three different ways, which is kind of interesting too. They have
what does that mean?
They have three different pours of the same beer, so I don't have a real handy cup that I can use. But imagine a beer glass in my hand, and if somebody's really bad at pouring tap beer at a party, you know what happens, right? Too much head. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of their pours on purpose. It's called Milko, And funny enough, my mom was looking through my pictures on my phone. And she says, is that milk? I'm like, no, that's beer, Mom. It's all foam. Actually, probably my favorite. They have one where it's about 60% or 50% foam. They call it, it's a different pour name. I could say the names, but it's going to sound funny. And then a regular pour.
God, you're so learned. I love it. We should do
the Czech Republic. It is so cheap.
We probably need a separate beer podcast as well. Honestly, I have started pouring beer like that bad keg pour as an adult because I realized I don't want that all of the carbonation in there. I want some out. So anyway,
it tastes way different too.
Obviously. Yeah, exactly. You know
what? Sometime we should do a Jack Herbert Illustrated International trip.
Oh God,
that would be so
all
much fun.
For that.
If we do it outside of school, you know, we have to do it like when school's not in session or my wife can't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Shots fired. All right. Well, anyway, it's good to have you back. Mr. Face. Let's see.
Well, when I got back into the States, my first text was Matt saying, God, I miss Chad. That was like the first text that came in and like nothing for a while because my phone was downloading so much stuff. And that's where I responded, hey, it's nice to have this great warm welcome. And then I didn't realize that was just you talking to everybody else before I had gotten
that. Yeah, you know, it was a lot of work. It made me just truly appreciate all the work you do behind the scenes, getting everything downloaded, uploaded, all that stuff. So thanks for all you do, Chad.
Anybody interested, I did get last week's pods put up on our YouTube too, if you want to consume them there. So
awesome. Thank you.
So on to the game?
Yeah. Let's go on to the game. Dallas, you got to watch the broadcast because you are in busy season for your actual job.
Yes. I was busy working, got a chance to sit and watch almost the entire broadcast, which was solid. So, yes, sir.
Okay. Chad, you were early at tailgating, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, which who knows when that starts now because – I'm not complaining. This is not a complaint. They let people in earlier than they're supposed to.
Stop complaining.
That's cool. That's not a complaint. I'm just saying. I was early, but I wasn't early, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. I showed up about 11:15. I did make it to tailgating. Didn't think I was going to. Miles's game got canceled and had a blast. I wrote this in Rants and Raves, but man, tailgating has gotten so good. Like everything's like falling into place. Like UPD is doing a good job doing what they need to do. Just general crowd control, but they're not being invasive or anything. People are showing up. They're walking around being welcoming. You know, I said hi to, a dozen UND fans as they were walking by, just invited them in for some, we had nachos at our spot. So I don't know. It was a great thing.
Hold on. You bring up a good point. We spent a good chunk of a few years ragging on UPD with how they handled tailgate. And we haven't called out that that's not the case right now. So thank you for calling that out, Matt. I mean, good job. It can't turn into chaos, but people need to have fun and get excited to go watch. And I feel like that's what's happening this year.
Yep.
Yeah. In fact, I wrote that in my notes as a positive to contradict some of the negatives I might have later. I had an officer come over. I had opened a beer bottle, which are bottles, we all know. Yep. And I had it sitting there because I went to go pick something up. I came back over and Ryan Jensen's dad was looking at the beer because it was an Eyinger, a German beer. And over walks a police officer. And I was like, it's mine. He has nothing to do with it. I'm going to pour it into a glass. He's like, cool, man. Just make sure it gets in the right spot. And that was the end of it. So kudos. It's something that we ranted on that's been fixed.
Mm-hmm. It is.
We got some work to do still.
So if there's any, so hold on, just to close the circle there, and I'm serious because I think occasionally we get picked on for being negative when we don't need to be. But if anybody is connected to the UPD, please pass that along. Good job. You're doing what you should do. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So getting into the game, I always like to go in early, see warmups, had no issues. Ticket lines for me were fast, efficient, but the issue when we got in was concessions, right? And it continued to be an issue throughout the game, it sounds like. My tradition, I go to concessions right away, get about 4 bottles of water, a popcorn, and a cotton candy for my kids. And that took probably 20, 25 minutes pregame. During the game, it was awful. And part of the reason is on the east side, the far north stand, the concession stand, was completely closed, shutters You're down kidding. And everything.
No, it's inexcusable, no. too.
For a sellout game.
If we have over 70% of our crowd coming, it's 70% sellout. We know in advance. We sell the tickets. There should be fines. There should be people fired. I don't care what. It's inexcusable because these are the people that you're trying to get as season ticket holders. They need to have a great experience, and not being able to get a drink of water because we don't have water fountains in the place is not a good experience. Yeah. And I'll quit my rant.
And Kurt, you know, this is something we've talked about before, right? The workers that are working, at least on the west, on the east side, are international students. They do a great job. This isn't a knock on the workers themselves or anything like that. They do the best they can with the technology that we have and the setup that we have. It's just there's not enough workers. And, you know, how quickly do you think you could make your money back if you brought busload of potential workers from Sioux Falls, paid them $20 an hour from pickup to drop off? I mean, you'd make that money back pretty quickly in sales, because I dropped $23, something like that, pretty quickly there. And so did the people around me. So I don't know. I just, yeah,
it's there's something gotta, that needs there's to be fixed. Yeah. It's inexcusable. At the end of the day, what?
No, we've talked about it. Do better. You've got it. We have a national championship team. Everybody else has to follow suit. And I'm sorry, that might be harsh. Just do your job. Do it. It's as a business person, I live in a town of 50,000 people. We hire 2,000 temporary employees. I'm sorry, you can find 15 more. I guarantee it. If you got questions, email me, and I'll help you sort it out. I bet we can probably figure out a solution. Anyway, on to the game.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not even 15 in, so we're doing okay.
The comments are great. This is great. Ron Loney says, "Is Chad the male version of Karen?"
No.
Gosh. Darren, beer line went quick.
Oh, that's good.
That's awesome. Nice.
All right, now let's celebrate the positives.
There's a positive there.
Yep, that's good. Scott Rust, it should be all hands on deck for Sodexo for sellout crowds. If the lines are not moving, the pre-caps will suffer. Pre-caps. I don't know what that means, Scott.
Something to do with profits, probably.
Oh, profits, yeah.
Profits, probably. Yeah. I mean, people that have children buy water. Just to, and I drink water, too.
Oh, gosh. This is great.
Oh, shut up, Ben.
All right. So, was there a football game? I forget. We've digressed very early.
So, Dallas, you may have noticed this on the broadcast, but we kicked the shit out of them.
Oh, man.
On the line of scrimmage, beat the shit out of them.
That was
605 Hogs.
Absolute beatdown. And, I mean, the observation watching it, you talk about those first two drives, they were perfect. The first two offensive drives were perfect, and I don't know what criticism anybody could have of that. And that is always that's the offensive line. That is the Hogs inflicting their will, and that is an experienced offensive line not getting overwhelmed or confused by throwing a bunch of crap at us, because there's, you know, when you're as a defensive front, you've got a couple different options. If you're just bigger and stronger than somebody, you're bigger and stronger, and there's nothing you can do about that. That is physics. If you are trying to confuse or be faster or cuter than somebody else, you know, you throw that, you know, the 3-4, you rush 5 or 6, you stunt, you do a bunch of crap, you throw a bunch of really quick guys, you know, up on the line and try to stunt them and do different things. Zero issue with that. Basically, the entire game owned them. Bravo, 605 Hogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this has been brought up in our text group. We were wondering who 83 was. You asked us, Dallas. And it's so funny because everyone that I was sitting around, we were like, geez, what's going on with David Alpert?
That 83 jersey is screaming. What's going on?
Moving people and holding them in place. Dude's an animal. Love him.
Yeah, and you have to wonder, right? Is this what they had planned with Bo Donald before his injury stuff reared up again? So
yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, they had no answer for Quentin. Quentin's a great kid. So something interesting, folks, about Quentin. As today I was writing Rants and Raves, I was trying to remember, figure out a way to remember how to spell his name, because I have a feeling we're going to be saying it a lot. Quentin is an E. Christensen is an E. So it's all E's in there. So super simple. They're all the same there. So
I love getting another offensive lineman on the field, because that's something that just over and over again in past years, we've got concerns about depth and just, oh man, what happens if one person goes down or whatever? Put another one on the field. You know, you got guys, and you have, again, just the ridiculous skill and abilities that we've got out of some of those big guys. That was fun to watch. And again, just completely, I don't know, owned them from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. What I really liked about this game is how much did we nail them what to watch? Because you go back and look, we said what? Contain Tommy. Mm-hmm. Get some sack. Don't let any sacks on O. Time of possession. The crowd. Start fast. And then at the bottom, you'd put what we talked about on the B team. I think Brendan or Ben brought it up that, you know, they score all their points in the third quarter. How many points did they score in the third quarter? Does anybody know? The answer is zero. Anyway,
You knew that. I was going to quickly look it up, and then I'm like, nope, Chad knows.
So all these things that we pointed out, we did excellently. And the funny thing is there's still, you know, we leave that game feeling like there's so much room for improvement still, even as is. So I like to see where this team's going.
It is. Mm-hmm. You talk about containing Schuster, and that, you know, there's a lot of discussion about not having any sacks in the first three games. And I think Jimmy, even in the pregame, told whoever he was talking to, I don't remember if it was Tyler or what, but said, hey, keep talking about no sacks. You're just going to piss him off, basically, which is kind of funny. I like that. But even honestly, in this game, even if we had none, I would have walked away from this very happy with the defensive front and the way that they handled it, because it's a quarterback who's extremely mobile. And again, we talked last week in the little bit of time I was on about how you've got somebody that, one, can be a mobile quarterback, but two, if you just contain him and hold the pocket to not let him scramble, he can still pick you apart. Like, he can go through his progressions, very accurate thrower, great quarterback, been around a million years. So it's this odd mix of like, okay, he didn't scramble, he didn't, you know, run for 150 yards, and you also didn't let him just sit there in the pocket and be comfortable. So again, great job. Even without the sacks, Bach had one. I'm sorry, was it DePriest who had the other one? Matt, do you remember?
Nope, Trevier.
Trevier, thank you. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, yep. Trevier. So anyway, but great job, defensive line. That was awesome.
Yep. Hey, Darren asks, do you guys think that we took our foot off the gas a little? I don't. I thought, you know, UND started to maybe not match us physically, but we still only punted once on the day. Like, I don't know. I feel like maybe defensively
that's
we didn't
ridiculous.
Finish as strong. Right? So defensively we didn't finish as strong. That I hate giving up that fourth quarter touchdown right at the end to Trey Feeney. I want to talk about this with Tina Kozart's question here. What about defense, Jason Freeman? Tina, I know you must be a relation or something with Jason. You ask about him a lot.
We're all fans.
We love Jason. Yeah, we're big fans too. It's just at this stage of the season, I'm so happy we're rotating guys at linebacker. It's such a physical position, and we have seven guys with starting experience. Him and Graham Spaulding both play the same position. Love seeing them both play.
And probably nine Freeman, guys that could
Bach,
start.
And Stallbird, right? Right.
And he does get a fair amount of playing time.
It's an insane group and they're all terrific. And I think as the season goes along, especially in playoffs, you know, those preferred starters are likely going to see more time on the field. But for now, it's about keeping them healthy for that stretch run, in my opinion.
No, agreed. Back to the foot off the gas thing. You know, as typically when you see subbing happens, it's the team that's down does it first, and the team that's up follows suit, right? That's just the way that it works. They started working people in. That gives us an opportunity. And at this point, I mean, this team doesn't have anything to prove, right? I mean, we're better off. If you get the work in that you need out of your starters, and if Jimmy's seen what he wants to see out of people, then, yeah, rotate them in, get some other guys some work, because you're going to need that down the stretch in the playoffs, whatever.
I'm just looking at some of these other comments, trying to figure out what they are here.
I don't know what Tim's comment is, but I love Randy Jacobs.
Yeah, we got. I think I saw Bellquist's picture on a milk carton today. What did he end with? I actually never saw.
Yeah, it was four receptions for 23 yards or something like that. Yeah.
Four receptions for 23 down, yards. Yeah. I mean, we talked about that last week. For somebody that has, I mean, he's the only like true go-to receiver that they had. Very good. I mean, he's solid. People shut him down, though. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this is a good one from Austin Vanderwall here. sorry. How much for pylon cameras? Do we need to start a GoFundMe for Midco? Fumble on the goal line was awfully questionable. We'll never know, right? It looked like he did lose it as he was extending out, but he could have probably sneezed and been over the goal line. It was that close.
Yeah,
right?
I got blown up with text messages on that one of everybody that obviously thought that it was a fumble. I spent way too much time wondering, how do you stop that? Because it's such a popular thing in football now with Philly and the brotherly shove or whatever they call it. And how tough that is to stop. And we talked, again, another thing we talked about last week was when four comes in at quarterback, you know exactly what's happening. The level, the pad level of the O-line is comically low, and it just, you're guaranteed to get a yard. So I'm okay, can you time something out? Can your corner come screaming in from the side and just time it out, punch the ball out? Like, I don't know how you stop that.
I got a question for you guys. Any concern about our secondary right now with you know, some of the penalties and just getting beat against Drake. Any concerns?
I mean, have they been tested really a lot yet?
Well, this was the biggest test, probably.
Yeah, probably. And Daishon, you know, he got that penalty, but he made the right call on that by grabbing that guy's jersey. He literally fell. He tripped on his own feet or whatever. He grabbed that guy's jersey. You know, we had six penalties. And a couple of them were on purpose. So, I don't know. I think they're good. I mean, our secondary is good.
Yeah, of course. And again, anything at this point, I just want to point out that this is, you know, everything is with the expectation of complete frickin' perfection, right? Mm-hmm. Of a team that's this good that returns this many starters. And it's not fair because if you walked in to my place of work tomorrow morning and expected perfection, it'd be over by about 8:15. so right? I mean, so again, this is all tongue in cheek. This is, you know, us just sitting here picking at stuff. Yep. I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's any concern. You look around the country and as fans, it's pretty easy to look way ahead and go, okay, who are we going to face in the semis? Who could we face in the semis? That sort of thing. Could they cause problems? And man, it's mostly run heavy teams at this point that I think will make it that far. And I am not scared of anybody running the ball on us. That's for sure. So long answer longer. Not really. There's a couple things that I think could have gone better, but I'm not worried.
Yeah. You know, Darren and Tina are bringing up the hit Daishon had on Elidor to close out that first half there. And you know, that's just
a good clean hit.
It was a good hit, and honestly, it's one of those play stupid games, get stupid prizes. Like, UND should have just kneeled it out. Like, what were they doing? Like, they got the ball at the 20-yard line with 30 seconds left. Come on. Like, you had just gotten your butt whooped that whole half, and stuff like that's going to happen when you play stupid games like that. So, I feel bad for Elidor, but it was a good hit by Daishon. So,
Speaking of, you know, getting your butt whooped, you know, we sit over right where the opposing team comes out, and at half, they all look like they were beat, like they didn't want to be there anymore. You know, you can tell it on somebody's face when they're a bit demoralized. They really did look like that. So, we made a statement in that first half for sure.
Yeah. All right. Anything else in terms of big things from the game?
Didn't we have a receiver set the most number of completions in a row record over some other guy named Josh something or another during this game?
Did we?
Somebody, it was, no, it I wasn't said. Most.
I can't remember
somebody
what the
passed Davis.
Was.
Somebody, no, we should know this. Man, improvement would not improve us. You were gone. I blame you. No, he did. So you're the one that brought the thing up that you didn't even know the answer to. But it's yes. So, yeah, Josh Davis got passed.
Josh who?
Dallas's friend Josh Davis and former friend of the pod.
I texted him after his big win.
That's a good job.
Up in the shopping mall, and he said thank you. I got a reply back. I said good job.
Hey, good. Good. One other thing. What was it? Oh, just Isaiah, right? Isaiah just had a heck of a game. You know, the stiff arm obviously planting the cornerback into the ground. And that video is awesome.
That was right? Filthy.
Was it Alex, right, that commented that just I missed it when I watched the replays the first few times, but Isaiah just shaking his head.
Yeah, he just shakes his head. Like he had time to slow down and like he was aware of what was happening in the middle of the play.
Yep.
And shook his head after he just snatched his soul.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Isaiah says, I haven't had a chance to beat them, and I've taken that personally.
Yeah. Yep.
I took that personally.
A couple things, other things. Start time. I didn't love the 2 p.m. kick.
No.
Man, I would have. I'd rather have 6 p.m. It was way too hot in that sun. Oofta. Tucker Large punt returns. Yeah, I feel bad for UND. Bad break on that inadvertent whistle on that one. And then the punter was pissed, and so he smacked the hell out of the ball and outkicked his coverage.
That is the definition of outkicking your coverage. Yeah. People throw that around a lot. That is exactly what happened.
Yeah, he had those guys had just run down the field too and made a play, all excited, and had to do it again. And then he boomed the heck out of the ball and outkicked his coverage.
For you guys that were there, was the ref like 6'10", or did he just look that way on TV?
Didn't look that tall in person.
Didn't notice it.
Oh, my goodness.
The other
on
ones
TV.
Were short is why.
Okay. All right. I should have sent the picture. I was going to tweet it out. No, the ref looked like he was like legitimately 6'10", probably.
Huh. Yeah. Huh. All right. Game balls. So just to go over predictions here on offense, Dallas, you said Wilde.
Yep.
Chad, you said Hines. And I correctly predicted Isaiah. So
you did, man. What? There is no argument on game balls for this one.
No,
I mean the winners won it, but it's still an all around. I think good solid all around game. I was very happy to see it now that you brought up Hines, seeing him get folded in a little bit more, seeing him be more active. But honestly, he was at least watching on TV was more involved blocking, you know, play side than I think I've noticed recently, and then seeing him out, did he have 3 receptions?
Something like that.
Okay, whatever it was. Anyway, I'm hoping that they're starting to pull him in more, that they saw something there. So that was fun to see.
Yep.
And I think we should give an honorable mention to the offensive line.
Like yep.
Darian oh, God, yeah.
I mean, because they just completely owned that field yesterday.
No, agreed. I mean, and that's how we started the pod was talking about that, because you don't have two perfect, and I'm serious, perfect drives to start a game and not have the O-line just owning everybody, because they did.
Yep. Hey, we should mention, by the way, that game balls here are presented by Culver's, Brookings and Watertown. Didn't make it to Culver's this weekend, but again, I think a lot of you did. You know, people, again, we really appreciate when you tag us, when you stop in. That's pretty cool. We always retweet those. And again, you may have seen the news, huge news. Aaron Amick turned us on to it right away. The Curder Burger is back. And that is good news, because I haven't tried that and I am excited to try that. So,
like I said, don't plan anything the rest of the day. Eat it, feel happy, take a nap.
Awesome. So thanks, Culver's, Brookings, and Watertown. Appreciate you guys. Defensively. Go ahead.
No, sorry. No, sorry. You finish what you're doing, then I'm going to go back quick. Go ahead.
All right. Defensive game ball here. Dallas predicted a safety. Chad predicted Daishan. And again, I correctly predicted Adam Bach. So.
To your own horn much? Hey, I'd give Daishan an honorable mention. Too.
Some of us try not to take the easiest selections every game, but hey, go ahead. That's fine.
Yeah, because is this show very exciting if we all agree all the time?
Yeah, right? Right? Hey, and so Bach, right? People have asked, right, is Bach hurt? Sounds like, you know, Jimmy in this post-game press conference answered that. saying, you know, he was on a pitch count. They brought him out. He was limping. People saw him limping on the sidelines. And it just, you know, he's getting back in shape with it. It sounds like it's going to be a week to week thing is how Jimmy answered it. So we'll go from there, but it sure was nice having him back on the field. That's for darn sure.
It was, he looked good. And it's not, I forget. I struggle to explain this sometimes defensively because adding one individual person, it isn't the difference between Bach and Williamson, right? Because Williamson could have put up the exact same numbers, and he's a great football player. You guys have heard me week in, week out talk about how happy I am with how well he's done and the fact that he's stuck around and you know, taken the opportunities when they came. Bravo, great job, Savion. But there's something when you guys have this little extra thing that this extra twitch, extra ability that just elevates everyone around you because it takes attention, it takes focus. Even if you don't make a play, you draw extra focus on an offense and people around you end up making plays, and you see that as soon as Bach steps on the field. Man, what a great ball player.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now we get to toot someone else's horn here. All right. Dallas predicted 38-28, Matt 38-24, and Chad 42-20. So good job, Chad.
Yep.
There we go.
No, I did. Right. I did not. I took and I will admit too, when the B team posted the lines, I 100% took UND with 18.5 points. I thought that was way too many.
Mm. Yeah. Our defense is just pretty damn good.
Jimmy called out in the post game, you know, how it was called, the defensive game was called very well. So that, mm-hmm. that was interesting little, you know, nod to his DC, I thought.
Yep. what Jimmy's, one of his press conferences or from the spring, right, was that he was joking with Davis that they weren't going to score on us. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into Valley games here soon. But, That game is going to be a slobber knocker against USD down in the Dakota Dome, and it's going to be low scoring because that USD defense is legit. We can talk about them in a little bit here. So, that's going to be fun. All right, let's go around the valley.
My one gripe that I had that I tweeted about earlier today, and this is going to go over horribly as a JFPA member. Man, let's take it easy on the white helmets for a little bit. Too much.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the blue for a while. Let's keep the alternates fresh. Let's make them alternates. Let's go back to just what we do. I'm also curious. There was somebody that had a really cool tweet that went game by game.
Yeah.
Was it Struck?
Yeah. Isaac Struck.
Yes, Isaac. If you're listening, that was fantastic. I loved your suggestions pretty much all the way down. And he suggested a black, white, black at Southern Illinois, which I never thought of, but I am curious how they're going to work the black helmets back in at least one more time. Like, you can't buy helmets and just wear them once.
Yep.
They got to bring it in one more time. So, but anyway, that's my stupid old guy rant. Get off my lawn. And it's not even a tradition thing. To me, it's just, okay, man, we've done that a lot. Let's just give them a break for a little bit. That's it.
We're going to do a special teams game ball.
Tuck your large.
100% who I have thrown down.
No, there's a no-brainer.
Hey, Wilde looked great on that one that got called back, but yeah.
That's true too.
Oh, that was. That was, yeah. That
was God, he's fun. I'm glad we have him back in kickoffs.
Yep.
I
like that too. That makes me excited for both. And actually, that's a good transition where we have a chance of doing some very, very special things, I think, in the return game here this week coming up.
Mm-hmm. Should we go around the valley first, or should we do Illinois State first?
Don't care. Up to you. You're in charge.
Let's go around the valley. Let's stop. Then we'll jump forward to a new week. So, looking back, Brendan, gosh dang it. All right, looking back on this week, we have a bunch of fun games. Before we get there, though, we need to talk about Jackrabbit Central. My wife took the kids to the stadium store end of second quarter just because they were getting antsy, the girls, and came back with a stuffed animal and like a jackrabbit pillow thing So thanks for having super cute things that my kids have to get. That was great. They've been fighting over them since they got home.
That's how they get you. Cool. Well, you should have bought two of each is really what should have happened, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I don't know. What was I thinking? Jeez. But no, get their stuff there. Again, the shirt that Jimmy was wearing, the Pheasant State shirt, those items are super cool. I got to get some of those things. Chad, you got any of those yet? The Pheasant State
I didn't get the Pheasant State. You know, I'm so good at life that I let my wife handle my purchases. She got this at the bookstore and another awesome hat. Okay.
I do like the hat you're wearing. For people listening, it is it's a mesh back. I don't know if I'd quite call it a trucker cap, but it's mesh back.
Technically a trucker.
Very light blue, and we have like a quarter-sized... Is that leather?
Yeah, it's leather.
Leather, a leather like embossed SD on the front. Very small. Very subtle. Like I like
heather,
that.
Instead of a heather gray, it's a heather blue. It's,
yeah.
It's pretty rad.
No, that's a cool hat. Changing it up.
She's got better taste than me, which doesn't explain how we ended up together. But...
All right. So thank you, Jack Rabbit Central. Appreciate your guys' support and sponsorship. All right. So other games, obviously South Dakota, USD went into Fargo and won 24-19. And it sounds like really just kind of obliterated them. obliterated them from start to finish. I'm sorry, people that are just listening to this and not watching. Chad's getting blown up in the comments for having the plastic tag. Tails.
No, no, time out. Time out. That deserves an explanation. That sticker was on here. I put them here because my grubby ass thumbs will ruin my hat.
Oh, I do that too. If I have a hat with a light bill underneath, because all I do is sit and fidget like that, I end up with like a black smudge right in the middle. So I get that. Although, hold on. Do you have the damn cardboard still in the...
Yeah, I left it in. It gives
Why would
structure.
You... No, okay, no, I'm calling BS on that. You left the cardboard...
Yeah,
that's only for the shelf. You take that out.
Yeah, but it lasts longer and it's...
No, what are you doing?
I know how to have hard.
We broke Matt. Matt left.
Matt had to laugh. He's having problems
breathing. The sticker is functional. The fact that you left the stiff cardboard in your hat, not...
It keeps it crisp. Otherwise, they get creases, Matt.
Okay.
You do what you do to keep your stuff crisp. This is what I do. All right.
We're getting Chris Howard's calling us out for going to garage time already. So let's move on. We lost Matt. I don't know where he's at. We're going to talk Missouri Valley results. So, I mean, the first one, the big one that comes up is USD and North Dakota State. And that was, to me, I watched a good chunk of it. I had it on cause I was at home. So I had that as one of my kind of in the foreground games, watching. And I missed the first couple touchdowns, but the thing that stands out is the fact that you've got somebody jumps out early, but North Dakota State teams of old could typically just take control, grind down, and you wouldn't really have a question of what was going to happen. They would just still impose their will, and that didn't happen in this game. And Matt is still laughing and trying to regain control, and he's not, but...
The comments aren't helping, I think.
Comments are great. You guys are great. I love you all.
This is so fun. No.
You know, one thing I noticed on the rewatch of the Cows game is that they did a very good job of taking away the A, B, and C gaps and making them run more east-west in the first half. And they didn't get much north-south. And, that defense on the Coyote side of the ball, it's pretty legit, as Matt was saying earlier.
Yeah, I agree.
It will be a contest when we go down there.
So here's the thing, is I do remember calling this out before the season, is I actually thought that USD was probably going to be able to host a playoff game this year without a signature win, because their schedule is very favorable. They play all the crap teams that we don't play, sorry, but they do. And now the fact that they have this signature win against a team who, let's be real, you can argue that, oh, they lost to an unranked team and they shouldn't be in the top 10. You're still a top 5 or 6 team. They are. When we get to the end of the season, the Cows are a top 5 or 6 team. I don't care what you say. and they beat them at their place. So that to me, like, you got to kind of watch out now for USD. Matt, you ready to join us now, or are you still thinking? Okay.
Exactly, right? So,
sorry, go ahead.
So Scott Russ asked, can USD really play that good the rest of the conference schedule? And again, we don't know because the Missouri Valley is so much better than these other conferences. We don't know for sure, but USD's defense was great in the non-conference portion of the schedule too. And now that they went up to Fargo and shut down that run game, and really like Cam Miller had looked pretty decent, right? In the passing offense so far this season, again, non-conference, but man, USD, and I wrote this in the preview way back in June or July, whenever I did them, that they had star players at all three levels of the defense. Nick Gaze is very good on that defensive line. The two linebackers, Hillis and Morganson, great linebackers.
Dude,
Miles Harden
all
is
over.
One of the best cornerbacks in all of FCS.
Yep.
So again, like that defense is going to keep them in games. And we know Josh Davis. Josh Davis is a heck of an offensive mind, and he's going to get the most out of that talent that they have down there. So I don't think this is a flash in the pan. And who do they play now? Missouri State, or is they have some kind of easy Murray State. They have Murray State this week. Right. And that's they're going to get a win. It's D-Days. They're going to build some really good momentum for the rest of the way here. So, yeah, big game. Thanks for bearing with me there when I lost it.
Not a problem. No, again, same thought with them, and it bodes well. I don't know. Not going to pretend like I'm rooting for them by any stretch of the imagination. But yeah, it's big for their program. And you look back historically, and they will drop the ball at some point. But if they don't, then yeah, I mean they're going to be in the conversation for a seed if they win the games they're supposed to win, which is just absurd. I don't think they're that good, but we'll find out. What else we got on the slate?
Yeah. So the big one, other big one, right, was Youngstown at Northern Iowa. In a game that went back and forth.
That was a fun game.
Yeah, it featured very little defense. And we kind of knew this about both teams, especially in their secondary, right? Both teams have weak secondaries. Youngstown, that's been their Achilles heel the last couple seasons. And Northern Iowa, just they graduated. So many good players on the back end of that defense are lost into the portal. Wu Governor's still there, but he can cover one guy. So it's just interesting to see that. What was it, 300 plus passing yards for both teams? Theo Day still got sacked three times through an interception. Probably not his cleanest game, but they still found a way to win. And the Uni Dome's a tough place to play too. So
in front of a weak crowd. That was the other game that I had on too, and it was fun watching it go back and forth. But yeah, it's kind of sad watching where that program's at just in terms of support. Because that should have been a big game. And that is a relatively football savvy fan base. And you've got the, call them upstart, comeback Youngstown State. They were very hot coming in as a team that was supposed to emerge from, kind of bottom third to the conference to potentially top third. I mean, that was a big thing. And again, they, you and I came back. They did what they probably should have done. But yeah, I would like to see more out of that fan base. I don't know what the deal is.
And poor YSU had to go back to Youngstown, Ohio. So they lost twice that day.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
That's a Chad comment. Not this one, but the other one.
Our road schedule, is just concerning, right? Like we thought this would be like the easier, like we have this every year type of deal. But Illinois State, we'll get into that. It's not going to be a cakewalk. Youngstown's not going to be a cakewalk. Southern Illinois is going to be nasty.
No.
And then the Dakota Dome is going to be a big game. Those are four games that are not easy on the road in the Valley. So, yeah.
Oh, hold on real quick. Not a factor in the conference, but let's call out Murray State getting the win over Indiana State. Honestly, a relatively entertaining game. In front of 13,000 fans?
13,000 people, yeah.
Yeah, good for you, Murray State, with your horse that runs around the track, which is weird, but good for you.
Weird, but kind of cool at the same time, right?
Yeah. I like it.
It was pretty weird.
But it's running on their running track? Do they actually use that for running? Like,
I hope not.
Damage their track?
There was a horse on the track. That's all I know.
Oh, hey, we have a next level stat there from Seth Meyer. Can we pull
what
that
do you got,
up?
Seth?
Yeah. Fun fact, our next six opponents have either a bye or play Indiana State or Murray State the week before playing us.
So basically a bye.
That's incredible.
Oh, that sucks.
It's like the Valley did this on purpose.
No way, Seth. I hate that.
Wow.
It's like, terrible. That's a great stat, by the way.
Wow. That's nuts. We're going to have to save that and share that with Justin. Because Justin had the PC answer last year when we talked to him. But this seems a little fishy to me. So, yeah. All right. The other game, Missouri State was at Southern Illinois, and Southern Illinois won 33-20. Missouri State, I don't know. It looks like one of their quarterbacks got knocked out. Their starter got knocked out, or they're splitting snaps at quarterback. I don't know. But Jacob Clark had been their starter, and something called Jordan Pichot took half the snaps at quarterback. They put up 305 yards passing on Southern Illinois. So it's not, I don't know, that Southern Illinois defense only gave up 20 points, but is it still the Southern Illinois defense? We'll see.
I mean, just everybody keep in mind, you got an undefeated team. They are very good. Most people have them in their top eight, if not top five right now. So that is one to, you know, make sure you're being aware of, and that's a very good football team down there in Carbondale.
Yeah, their quarterback is just lighting it up down there too. He's all over the place.
Yeah, Nick Baker. Yeah. So they travel to Youngstown this coming week, and so that's going to be interesting, right? I don't know. That'll be a fun matchup in the Ice Castle, and maybe kind of their first big test of the year too. So,
yeah, the Ice Castle is known as a place that's kind of hard to play in. So.
Yeah, it's almost a must-win for Youngstown, right?
Right.
This one, honestly, yeah, they don't want to be on that 7-4 bubble like last year.
Yep. Yeah.
They're 2-2 right now.
Yeah. Gotta be. So here, I got a Valley question. Last year, there was so much discussion about that the Valley was top-heavy and not that good, and that, you know, it was honestly mostly Big Sky people talking about how the Big Sky was better and deeper than the Missouri Valley. Is the Missouri Valley top heavy again this year, or is it a deep conference?
I mean, it's still like the best conference, though. Maybe the Big Sky is right there. It's 1A, 1B type of deal. But I think between those two, they're easily the best in the FCS. Like, it's
I don't think, honestly,
now.
This year, I didn't bring it up to talk Big Sky necessarily, but I think if you're not talking about the top two in the Big Sky, I actually don't think that conference is that good this year. Outside of Montana State and Idaho.
Sacks right there, I think.
I thought they were,
but I don't know. I'm just curious where we're gonna end up in terms of total, you know, total playoff berths. But
yeah. All right. Do we want to talk about Illinois State, or what do we want to do here, Chad?
Yeah, we sure can.
All right.
We do. Well, man, we're down to 38:50.
Yeah. A couple things on the national landscape, right? Holy Cross losing is huge. William and Mary losing is huge. That Holy Cross game, I did watch probably the second half of that. And Sluka had a bad day. And I think it shows again that if you can get him throwing the ball and in a position where he has to make a comeback, Holy Cross is very beatable. But it just kind of depends on how that defense plays for them. They're young. They have a lot of new faces on that defense compared to what came into Brookings last December. Very interesting. So
it's going to be hard to win any game when you have five turnovers, Matt.
Yeah.
That's a ton.
Yeah. Yeah. The Idaho question, Montana State question we're getting in the chat or the sidebar. I still like Montana State at 2, and those two have to face each other. So we're going to get some answers there. Yeah. All right. Dallas, anything from the national landscape? Chad, anything?
No, you covered everything that I wanted to. Looking forward to some of those future matchups.
Yeah. All right. Illinois State. Dallas, what do you know about them?
I call me out because I said I didn't have a chance to do as much research as I wanted. I mean, all right, so you got Illinois State. Now, hold on. All right, so 3-1 team.
The red.
3-1 team. And I actually think we match up pretty dang well against them. But 3-1, but they've beat Dayton, Western Illinois, and Lindenwood, so we don't know much about them there. They lost to Eastern Illinois, who hasn't played a ton of tough games, but might be better than we expect. You know, again, probably you're talking about a team that was picked in the middle of the Missouri Valley and probably will finish there. You know, Brock's back. They're well coached. He's been there forever, something like 15 seasons. They have, you know, they haven't given up much in the way of rushing. So that's going to be interesting to see how we match up if we just want to line up and sling the ball. But they've given up way more passing yards than rushing. They also like to throw the ball if they can. Anixtead is a solid quarterback, but they got two good running backs too. The thing I called out earlier when I was doing a little bit of research here is they have really struggled in the return game, both themselves and also in coverage. So I think that we probably could turn the tables there in special teams.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
Yeah, I think we'll have a special team score this time. I had that written down in my notes.
Interesting. I like
that. I think we could. I mean, I did get this jotted down here. 8.8, they average 8.8 yards. Kick return, 2.9 is all in the punt, mm-hmm. giving up 17.3 in the kicking game and almost 27 mm-hmm. in the punt return game.
In the punt return.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's like go. Tucker Large. Can't wait. Yes, sir. And then, another one here that I'm trying to remember. They're really solid defensively on third down. That's where we absolutely shine. We're like 70% on third down mm-hmm. or something. Do you guys recall the stat?
It's like that.
Whatever. Right. It's absurd. We're like 70%, 65-70% on third down. So I think that's something where we can excel, and they've struggled with that a little bit, throwing the ball versus running. And then preseason, I pulled that up too. They had seven guys, all Valley, second team, or honorable mention. I haven't seen much in the way of like, you know, they haven't had any big awards or anything in season. I know their kicker was special teams player of the week versus Lindenwood, but they got they got one solid offensive lineman, safety that was preseason all conference, as well as wide receiver Jalen Carr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jalen Carr is a fun little player, right? He's like 5'9", yep. Kind of lightning in a bottle.
I was going to say water bug.
Yeah. That's perfect too. You know, they have two good backs, like you said. That Mason Blakemore didn't play in the game previous before their bye week this week. So, yeah, they had a bye. And then Cole Mueller is a big power back. So between those two, kind of a nice little 1-2 punch. That game that they had right before the bye, Josh Robinson got a lot of touches and, again, kind of looked really good with the ball in his hands. Smaller scat back kind of guy. So really interested to see on their offense. Chad and I were talking before the show, and that defense that came to Brookings last year to end the season that was so legit, you know, had Zeke Vanderbilt, had Frankie West at corner, DeAndre Lamont at corner, Jason Lewin along the defensive line, Hickox on the defensive line, that big nose guard. All those guys are gone. And you look at their two deep, and it's like, who are these guys? I've never heard of them. They're leading
one of them's
tackler.
A red shirt freshman.
Yeah, right?
Hold on, not to drag it back to last year, is that Zeke Vanderbilt? He's on a roster, right?
I don't know.
Is he on a Sunday? That was possibly the best defensive football player I've watched live. And I said that last year, and I mean it. He controlled.
Miami Dolphins.
He was so good. What's that?
Miami Dolphins.
Okay, he was so good. Yeah. Man, he was good.
Yeah.
So good. I hope he is.
Yeah, so all those guys are gone. And so I expected their defense to be kind of a sieve this year. But they've actually been pretty good. But again, it's the question, like, who have you played? Who do we know yet?
Eastern Illinois. I mean, they had, despite losing, they had three turnovers, eight sacks, and 12 TFLs. So, I mean, you got guys that can get around the field for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just, you know, they gave up, what, 18 points, 14 points, 17 points? And zero against Dayton. So I don't know. Like, what do we know about this team yet? They haven't played anyone
Not really.
No, they took care of teams they should beat, and they lost to a team that might be okay, and we're not sure yet. Because I even went as far as to research Eastern Illinois, which I've never said in my life. And they haven't really played much of anybody either, so we don't know yet.
Yep. Yep.
Not a Jimmy Garoppolo guy, huh?
No. I'm pretty sure he is out of eligibility.
Randy Jacobs brings up a good point here. Our cornerback coach should know the Redbirds well. Mike Banks, for those of you that don't know, came over. He was the cornerback coach and associate head coach, actually, for
was
them.
Was he really?
So, yeah. Yeah. And he's been a great addition. Obviously, we just pulled in a huge three-star recruit out of Kansas in our secondary. And I don't know if Banks had anything to do with that or not, but that's pretty cool. So, yeah. All right. I'm getting out the pen, the trusty notepad. Who should we start with this week? Who'd we start with last week? Dallas got to start last week. Chad, you can start this week. Offensively. You know, yeah.
So I have the people's pick. So you guys go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm going with our QB. I think he has the game.
Mark
Gronowski.
Okay. I'm going to go with Amar. I think this is an Amar game. So he was kind of shut down a little bit this week. So I'm going with Amar. Dallas, who did the people choose?
The people's choice, despite the stout run defense of Illinois State, have picked number 22, Isaiah Davis, to be the offensive player of the game. So we're going with that.
All right.
Forget the stats. Forget what they've done in the past. They haven't seen us. We're running all over.
Darren loves the 605 Hogs. I love that about Darren. It's just like, that's who Darren's going to pick every week. So thank you, Darren, for representing the 605 Hogs. And I got my old 605 Hogs shirt on today. So, all right. Corey Caraway is going with Jaden Yonke. Who does Chad's hat
I just don't get how this is that funny.
It's great. All right. Scott Russ says Wildy will have another big game. All right. Defensively, he was heating up this week and he played a good game. We didn't mention him, but I'm going with Quentin Hicks. I think he's going to have a really nice game this week and kind of disrupt some of that passing offense that Illinois State wants to have. Chad, who are you going with?
I think Daishon. I'm going to go with Daishon again. I like that guy's game.
All right. Dallas, who'd the people choose here?
So you got a team that wants to sling the ball. You've got the former Big Ten quarterback, a bunch of very capable receivers. So my assumption was we're going with either a defensive back or a D lineman. Matt, the people agree with you. Quentin Hicks, player of the game.
Dang it.
And that's a good point. He was just very visible in that game. And I don't have a better way to explain that. But again, made a couple of plays, but also when you're just visible around the ball impacting things, saw an awful lot out of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gosh, dang it. All right, Dallas, we're going to swing it back to you. Score-wise.
I'm usually pretty concerned. What, Chad, sorry. Okay, so again, most of the people listen and don't watch. I don't know. People are making fun of Chad's hat cardboard. I don't get it. Wait, I'm the one that did it. I'm sorry. All right, so I am genuinely pretty conservative when it comes to picking scores. I really think I like how we match up against these guys. I think we could probably put this one away pretty early. I'm going to go 42-10, Jackrabbits. I think this is a beatdown. I really do.
Okay. Chad, what do you got?
He dang near stole it from me. I had 42-17 in my mind.
Okay. All right. I do, and I hate picking that much of a lopsided win. It just feels uncomfortable, but I have the little bit of research and watching I did. I think we can take care of this pretty quick.
Yeah. Dr. Gamer, I agree with you. 38-17, that's what I'd written down. So, yeah, we're all kind of in the same ballpark here. what do we got here? All right. So it's going to be fun. This one, Jeepers, our predictions, folks, presented by Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill.
Cubby's!
Excited, you know, had people, again, taking pictures that when they were there. Great spot to pregame before you come to tailgating. Great spot to watch the game if you don't have a ticket. And the road games, it's one of the best places to be with other Jackrabbit fans to watch road games if you're not going to the stadium itself. The atmosphere is incredible. People cheer. The food's great. What else can we say about Cubby's? We all
I've never been to Normal, Illinois, but I guarantee Cubby's is better than Normal, Illinois.
Not a lot good going on in Illinois these days.
Yeah. Cubby's is exceptional South Dakota. So, yes. Yeah. Not Normal, Illinois. Get it, Dallas?
It's a good. Yes, I get it. That was good.
I thought you'd appreciate a dad joke there.
I like puns.
All right. Folks, thanks for tuning in and putting up with our nonsense. This has been a funny show. The interaction in the comments is great.
And I have dyed my beard blue, so that's like nothing new.
All right. Thank you for liking, subscribing, sharing. As always, we do appreciate that. Go follow our friends on FCS Fans Nation as well. Thanks to Rev, Dustin Helton for being here again tonight. Watch his show, learn about the UAC. Kevin, thanks for being here. You know, your FCS Nation is kind of one of the best shows out there. So, like Dallas, you tweeted about that. You learned something every episode with him and Stone.
Yep.
And so, yeah. Thanks, everyone. Dallas, anything to add?
Nope, that's
Chad,
it.
Anything?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Go big. Go blue.
Go Jacks, buddy.
Go Jacks.
We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And as always, Go Jacks.